We are at the Tabletop Gaming Expo.
Yes.
2022. So I want to ask how... Let's talk about that relationship between tabletop gaming, RPGs, Dungeons & Dragons, tabletop RPGs, and the arcade. Because I wanted to talk about, first, I guess, arcade games with RPG elements in them. Because there are some, which is interesting. Usually you think of home console RPGs, but there are some that have password systems. And wasn't there a really, like, I doubt it ever got popular. I think it was a Neo Geo where you had Magician like a card Lord, that you could put in.
You had Magician Lord on Neo Geo.
Yeah.
I mean, I consider something like Black Tiger, Capcom's Black Tiger, has some role-playing
elements. Because you can upgrade.
You can buy stuff in a shop.
Right.
And that was in an arcade.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Also, the relationship with tabletop gaming and the arcades is kind of cemented with those awesome beat-em-ups of Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah.
Super rare, Gaunt Legends, and honestly, everything that is Golden Axe is freaking role-playing.
Yeah, very much.
Everything is Golden Axe. Sega Golden Axe is freaking... And honestly, you could probably, for that matter, consider Altered Beast a role-playing...
Yeah.
Inspired beat-em-up game.
Definitely inspired.
Yeah, definitely inspired.
Well, so, that's the thing, is a lot of the like fantasy games are inspired by D&D, which, I mean, is mostly inspired by Tolkien, but there's a big gap between Tolkien and fantasy games, and that's filled by Dungeons & Dragons tabletop.
Man, I think you're forgetting about, what is it, C.S. Lewis? C.W. Lewis?
C.S. Lewis, yeah. Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. That's
Everybody
true.
Forgets about that guy.
That's very true. No,
Jake was
really
mentioning
like
this
books.
Idea the other day, and I want to know what you guys think about it, but maybe we should have like a podcast where we're recording and we're playing Dungeons & Dragons. I never played it before, but it sounds
I think it'd be fun.
Jake said it the other day, too, and I think that I got us a starter kit, actually, today.
We got the starter kit.
I got us a starter kit, and we're going to do that one Saturday night.
There we go.
We're going to do it.
After hours.
I don't know who's going to be the dungeon master.
No, I don't
think that's
got to
be Shane.
Not
me.
Who's the most experienced?
It's going to be you, Jake.
I've played D&D maybe three or four times.
That's three or four more times more than I have.
That's three or four more times than anyone else at this table has.
Correct.
So
really?
Dude, you're the dungeon master, son.
You're the pro.
That's it.
All right, I'll write a campaign.
That's it.
But
can we go? Chris, what other games can you think of that had that role-playing element in the arcade? Was Magician Lord that where you saved it?
I don't remember, I know there are some games where they have password saves. Remember there was one Neo Geo cab that I've heard of, I've never seen it, where you had like some kind of card
that. They all had the memory card,
play.
And you could use
later
that
to
save your progress, and you can continue. Yeah.
I think the first game that comes to mind for me is just Gauntlet.
Gauntlet and Gauntlet Legends.
Even today, I remember playing Gauntlet, a newer version of Gauntlet, maybe a few years ago on PlayStation. I can't remember if it was Gauntlet Legends or not.
Legends.
It was like a 3D version. It was interesting, and I'd never heard of Gauntlet prior. And then after starting work here, just Gauntlet came up, and I remember you wanting to turn a cabinet into Gauntlet, and never came about. But the game is just so interesting. I love RPGs. I'm an RPG guy.
Yeah,
so
that's partly why I'm asking. Because again, on home consoles is where you really associate that with. I was looking around. Ghosts and Goblins. It's a little bit there. You upgrade your weapons. There's different armors
Ghosts
and stuff
and Goblins,
like that. Right?
Yeah,
it has that.
And it still
that
has that fantasy. Yeah.
Was Ghosts and Goblins an arcade?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, wow.
Or Capcom.
Yeah.
Was it still hard as shit?
No.
Before CPS-0. It was probably harder because it was meant to steal your money.
Black Tiger, CPS-0.
Good question.
There was another one that was, I forget the name of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Commando was CPS-0, I think.
Right.
I mean, are there any other ones that we can think of?
I can think of some great trackball games.
not even joking.
If we're talking, we're on the topic
no,
of trackball.
We're doing a separate episode that's going to be called Trackball Heaven.
I swear the
we already did it.
No way we haven't done it. No way we haven't made that episode.
You're right. I forgot.
I swear every single episode the last like 2 months has been at least 20 minutes about trackball.
Well, because Chris is the host.
He's got a trackball.
Chris talks about it.
He's got a trackball fetish. I have a great role-playing game. It's called Missile Command.
There you go.
So anyway, back to my podcast about trackballs and Star Trek.
And Missile Command.
And Missile Command. Well, there is that Capcom one, the Neo Geo one that we have.
Magician Lord,
right?
Magician Lord,
that we just changed one of our Neo Geo cabs to.
Did
we? No. No, we don't have Magician Lord.
Yeah.
We don't.
That's one? That's a good E, though. It's a Capcom cab. The Street Fighter one that you changed this morning.
It's got Dungeons and Dragons on it.
That's what
right
it
now.
Is,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's what
that's
I was thinking.
Dungeons and Dragons. That's a beat 'em up.
Yeah.
Right.
And then it had a part two.
Shadows of Mistara.
As well. Those are beat 'em ups. They are actually pretty freaking rare.
They're good games.
They're super rare. I think the board sets go for a few $100s.
Yeah,
if I'm
like
not
a
mistaken.
Good $500 to $800 we're talking about.
Yeah, $500 for those. Because people got rid of them pretty quickly.
Converted them, whatever.
Converted them as a playthrough.
And it's Capcom 2?
It's
right?
CPS 2. CPS,
yeah,
CPS 2 hardware.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Both of them are, right?
Yeah, they're both CPS 2. Yeah. Thankfully we have them. So.
I think Lost in the Shuffle, you know, we always talk about tabletop, we think of D&D. What about puzzle games, man? Puzzle games are just as popular in the tabletop scene.
Actually, dude, yeah, you're
what
right. Why did we
games,
not think of that? You're right,
what
dude.
Puzzle games, you know, were maybe not originated, but were popular during the arcade age?
Mm. Well, wasn't Tetris?
Well, sure.
Tetris
has got to be the top.
Yeah.
Tetris is based on Pentominoes, right? We discussed that already.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. That's just a basic board game tabletop game.
Klax,
so yeah,
isn't
Tetris
there?
Is based on.
Or
is
Scramble? Scramble is Scramble.
Klax is an arcade.
No, Scramble's a shooter.
Scramble's a shooter. Okay. Klax is an arcade, but is that a tabletop game? Is that a
no? But
a
it's
thing?
Like it's like a you know it's a strategy kind of thing where you got to line up the blocks.
So
and
it's tabletop-y.
Yeah, it's like Tetris.
Okay.
Are there any arcade games that are just straight? Because I know like on the Game Boy and stuff like that, you could get like Battleship, or you could get like. You know, I mean, there's Monopoly on the Sega Genesis.
Yeah, nothing.
Which is only interesting because you can have eight players and make it play itself.
I can't think of anything within the golden age of arcades or even after the golden age. I can't think of anything off the top of my head besides Tetris between like 81 and 89.
I know Neo Geo has like a battle chess series or whatever. Does that ever come out on the arcade systems? Or
I don't
is that
think
a home
so. And I think the reason why any home. Of this stuff never came out is just because of how much time it takes to do a tabletop game.
Yeah,
and true. You're all about just pumping quarters, so it's conducive. So they'll take the themes and they'll
but
no direct ports because you're never going to make money.
Right.
Even later, like and what we just talked about with the CPS2 boards for Dungeons and Dragons games. You gotta realize the arcade owner who then puts that into his cabinet, dude, he's for beat 'em ups at that time, they are jacking up the difficulty on those dip switch settings.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because they want the kids to be, they want kids our age at that time
to pump quarters
every 3 minutes. That's
so you set that to, you set that to holy shit hard, and you just watch kids pump their allowance into it.
Yep.
That's it.
That's how
I've got
you
a
do
list
it.
Of games here. I want you to let me know.
Talk to me.
Since I'm not as versed in this.
Talk to us.
And you
go.
Let me know how puzzle oriented they are. Puzzle Bobble?
Yeah.
Similar to Bobble Bobble.
What do you mean? Puzzle Bobble.
Late
80s.
Bobble Bobble.
Yeah.
They all come out of that.
Klax with a K.
George was just talking about that.
Yep.
We've got Burger Time on this list. I don't know. Is that.
I guess Burger Time is puzzly.
Super Mario type thing. Or Mario Brothers type thing.
I mean, yes and no.
Yeah.
I mean.
Kind of.
It's an awesome game.
It's a fun game.
I've never played it.
It's one of my favorite.
I have not played Burger Time either.
You should emulate it. Yeah. I think you would end up liking it.
It's a fun game.
Yeah.
We've got columns.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
well,
of course.
Yeah.
See, but that was a cabinet columns.
Did Sega put that out in their System 16? We'd have
to
look that up.
I'm gonna
I think
that would have
come
out on System 16 or System 32.
Give you a couple more.
That was their Tetris.
Pango?
Pango the Penguin, Sega.
Totally.
Yeah, Pango totally, yeah,
and then
you're
they
right.
have Pong on this list as well. I don't know if that Pong would really be considered a puzzle game.
I would not call Pong a puzzle game.
It's a sports simulator game.
Yeah.
I think it's a tennis simulator.
Just like
it's
FIFA.
A tennis, yeah. Yeah.
See, now, so do, like, maze games and, like, Not Miss But do like you know, maze games, like sort of like Pac-Man, Miss Pac-Man, stuff like that, or like Crystal Castles. Are those considered
Crystal Castles on trackball? Just saying.
Trackball.
It does have a trackball. He's got you on that, Jake.
And you wonder why I don't play Crystal Castles. Oh,
Crystal Castles. So good.
Would I consider... No, those are maze chase games. They're not
they're
freaking
maze
puzzle games.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Separate...
Yeah, separate category.
Separate genre.
Maze and puzzle. Okay.
Well,
genres.
When I hear maze, puzzle does kind of go off a little bit.
A little bit,
head.
But...
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's true.
But I consider them a different
thing.
Genre
you know,
thing.
It's funny you say that because I think now we associate puzzles and mazes almost similarly. We're so like we've got like the Legend of Zelda brain. You know, it's like
that's
those
true.
Things go in, they're in tandem now.
Yeah,
everything
right.
yes. everything that's
yeah.
puzzly
Agreed.
And mazes, it's all kind of one thing.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look back, like Doom. The first game is a maze. Those maps are ridiculous.
Doom is ridiculous when it comes to like the quote-unquote puzzles because they're
but
not really
the,
puzzles.
Yeah,
but I've spent hours on just one level
on
just
one
trying
map.
To figure out one little button to push.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's like because you missed one little key card.
Yep. I've never played Doom.
Seamus, I think you should get up
I've never played Doom.
Are you shitting me?
What? I am very disappointed in you.
Wow. Hand to God, I've never played Doom.
That's you need to fix that, dude.
Never played Doom?
Swear to God. I want to, like... Fix that.
Dude, play it right
I gotta,
now.
We gotta do like a multiplayer thing.
Hell yeah, deathmatch.
With like all of us.
Doom originated which console?
PC.
PC.
Yeah. Was it?
486.
PC.
Okay. Yep.
I played Doom on the virtual reality headset for the PlayStation. Crazy.
is Doom on like N64 any good or no?
No.
Okay.
Am I
all
wrong
right,
here?
All right.
I might be thinking of Wolfenstein. But
Wolfenstein is also
kind of the
PC.
Same.
But
yeah.
did Doom come out on the Atari Jaguar?
Oh, yes,
I think
it
actually,
did.
It
came out
it's
on the
one version. Of its best ports, apparently.
It did.
Yeah, it's one
it
of
the Except there's no sound.
There's no music.
There's no music.
There's sound effects. There's no music.
It takes away from it.
Because speaking
graphically,
of,
it's supposed to be the superior port.
It is. It's basically a perfect port. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking I've never played Doom.
Like homages
sorry.
And stuff.
Nuts, dude.
Sorry.
Most
so
of the Doom music and stuff like that is basically just MIDI versions of like Megadeth and
yeah.
like Slayer.
Yeah, it's freaking metal.
It's great
soundtrack.
It's awesome.
But it's just all copies
hell,
of like Megadeth.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, it's great.
So, never played
so,
Doom
yeah.
before.
No, you guys are going to have to change that.
Yeah.
There, is
change
there an
my
arcade
mind.
Cabinet
change everything.
For Doom?
You're going to love it.
No,
dude.
I don't think Doom ever came
no,
out.
There is not. Which
no.
is surprising, actually.
Doom
I mean, you'd think
arcade.
You would change it to like a deathmatch or something type of thing, but
it would be hard.
Never
well,
tried.
They would have to have like six cabinets like in the same
yeah.
place, and they would all have to be linked with a cable.
Well, you just make yeah. it like a crappy two-player version or something. Four
no,
player.
You could
like
have a done a four. Off. You could have done a four player.
Four player. Yeah.
You could have done a four player with the big Konami cabs or something like that.
Before we end.
Okay.
Since we have George as special guest.
Portuguese guest.
You should ask nice. Him what his like. Favorite arcade game is, you know, because you'll
yeah.
probably be on again.
Okay.
Yeah,
Portuguese.
Yeah,
we
gotta
Portuguese.
Take advantage of our guests.
Sure.
Let's talk more about you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tell us about yourself.
George Portugal
sure.
is
this immediately
a,
turned into an interview.
He's a very dear friend of ours. So we're gonna let George just answer what it is he does for a living first.
Yeah, sure. So I'm a scientist. I work for a biotech company, and I do work with neuroscience research.
So, Portugal dissects people's brains for a living. And then on the side, he literally mods, fixes, repairs every single damn console you guys could ever think of. And that's
yeah.
his freaking hobby.
That's my hobby. And of course, the arcades and getting them running and all that, because I absolutely
right.
love that too.
And we love George. George is like family to us here. He's
absolutely.
A dear friend
you
of
guys
ours.
Are family too.
He's helped us out countless times. We all help each other, of course, but
yep.
George is a true member of our team here. Now, George,
mm-hmm.
Sean brought up something interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never asked this to you. And Sean brought it up.
Yeah.
What's your favorite arcade game?
It probably it's not necessarily one game, but it's those Konami beat 'em ups. I freaking love
all the four player ones. Huh?
All of them. I love them. I mean,
no
like,
shit.
I mean, I love all the Golden Age games and all that sort of thing too. But like, I remember seeing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or Simpsons or X Men in the arcade like blew my freaking mind when I was like 10 years old. That was
we
big.
Have to find that really rare one. It's a four player. Metamorphic Force.
Oh, yeah.
It was like an Altered Beast ripoff, but it was four-player. We have to find that.
That would be sick.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would
say that's your favorite arcade game.
That style of game.
The four-player
beat-em-ups
from Konami.
I love those games.
What's your favorite home console game?
Home console game?
It'd
probably be Ninja Gaiden on
NES. Wow.
NES. That was...
And you don't like the arcade version?
I like the arcade version, but the NES version blows it out of the water.
100%.
For me.
Really?
Out of the water.
Really?
Yep. It's one of the first games...
I'm sorry, I was introduced to it in the arcade, so...
Yeah, I didn't actually know it in the arcade at all. I discovered it when I was a kid and got my ass handed to me, and eventually I got to the point where I could beat the game on without a single continue. Like, I got really good at that game.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
NES is where my heart is, always.
What is your favorite console to work on in terms of modifying or restoring? What's your favorite console
to
work on?
That's tough. Because, like... The ones I do the most are probably NES and PS1. I do a lot of those. But for me, the things that I like are the hard things, the things where there's no documentation, where it's really difficult. Because like, it's not so much about the mod itself, it's about the challenge. And so, you know, if I'm doing like a video upgrade on an NES, I've done that a million times. It's not interesting. It's when I'm challenged and when it's difficult that I'm like, this is great.
I remember I told you guys about this. So... I had a TurboGrafx 16 CD, original North American release, and it was not working, stopped working, and I gave it to George to fix. George went through it all, realized it was the laser?
It was two things. There's a gear that moves the laser that crumbles, it just falls apart with age. Thankfully, that's easy, you just get a replacement. But then, yes, your laser was also toast.
Right. So George... because he's a goddamn brain scientist, figures out the exact, like, Sony or Pioneer?
Yeah, they don't
Sony
make those lasers anymore.
Discman, that the laser matched to a NEC TurboGrafx 16 CD player, buys the Discman for me for $20 on eBay just to yank the thing apart, take the laser out,
and
put
it
in
the
TurboGrafx
CD. And I fixed it.
And now the thing works like a son of a bitch. Like, it's like perfect. And like brand new.
This is not out of the norm for George.
No,
As we've referenced before on our computer space podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
He has done something similar to this. You want to explain?
What I did for the computer space cab was that the monitor was destroyed and there was no hope of fixing that circuit board. It was literally shattered in pieces. And so I did a lot of searching on the internet and I discovered that television set has a whole family of other TV sets with the same guts, same chassis. And once I found that out, I found a donor in Albany that was working for about $75 or something like that. I got it. It worked. And eventually we took the guts from that TV. We modified it just like Computer Space has, and then we put it into Computer Space, and that's how we fixed it.
And when we flipped it over that day, remember we talked about this in the podcast. Now George is joining us, but George... flipped over the new chassis, we flipped over the old chassis, and kind of like...
just to make
had
sure.
Had to kind of put it back together, and then we saw the jumped wires, and George's like, okay, we literally saw what Bushnell and Dabney did 50 freaking years ago, and George is like, this is what we need to do.
Yeah.
These three jump wires right here.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, is it certain... He's like, well, let's just rip wires out of something else that we have laying around, and then boom, we did it, and
it worked.
Came to life.
Magic.
Dude,
that was surreal.
Absolute magic.
That
like a
thing.
Wizard.
Like
magic man.
Like a Portuguese wizard.
Yes.
At a tabletop gaming expo.
That's right.
Live.
So George, what would you say is the weirdest thing you've ever had to repair?
Well, I was going to ask the most challenging, but
they could be in the same vein, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Weirdest thing I've ever had to repair. If you're talking about home consoles, it would probably be this really strange Dreamcast CRT television that someone gave to me. It was only made in Japan. They only made like about 2,000 of them.
It's a combo?
It's a Dreamcast TV combo.
Thing,
it's called the Divers 2000.
Yes, I've seen that. I've seen a video on it.
Yeah, and it might have been my video. There's very few videos
<Might have been.
laughs> on YouTube. Yeah, so it was just one of the strangest things I ever saw because they literally just like... hacked up a CRT and then just found a small little crevice to shove a Dreamcast into, and it's just a stock Dreamcast. It's the one, really weird. Really weird.
Nice.
I don't know. The hardest is hard for me. Like, because I keep thinking, oh, this is the hardest thing I've ever done. And then, like, 2 years later, I'm like, oh, whatever.
That was super easy.
That was nothing. Yeah, that was nothing. I think my fondest repairs are still to this day computer space and that Pong arcade machine that I resurrected.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
We have.
Those were big for me. Yeah.
Do you have in your collection, or is it in the Expos collection, or is it in Portuguese collection? Do you have that Panasonic GameCube?
The Panasonic
is that
Cube,
yours?
It's the Expos.
And that thing works?
Oh, it works. I fixed it.
It's pretty sweet, dude.
It is. It's beautiful. And not only did I fix it, I modified it so that it runs American games now, and it also plays American DVDs. So it's like totally useful.
So George does that too, like where like I can give him a Japanese NEC.
Region modding.
And he can region
mod it, American.
Can play everything.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Bring it, up maybe a decade. What would you say is your favorite handheld?
My favorite handheld
of
was,
all time.
Oh. Well, like in terms of just playing, it's definitely the original Game Boy, just because it was like the first thing that got
Shut
me
up,
into
really?
It.
The
yes.
black and white one? No
Hell
kidding.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Hell yeah. I love that more than anything else.
I was surprised you said that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I was.
I'm an SP boy myself.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. I love the other ones too, but the first one, I don't know, it just really got to me. I love the original black and white. It's what got me into modding consoles too, actually, was that. Okay. Yeah.
I've definitely seen a lot of... especially, we've had vendors here too at our expos that have done modded handhelds.
Yes, we have.
Oh, yeah.
Quite expensive ones.
Well,
as
we
well.
Had George Portugal as a
but
vendor.
We have George
as well.
Portugal. So.
Yeah, we got the professional.
He was as a vendor also.
Yo, professional Portuguese just
right.
gifted me my Game Gear.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So now I have to start collecting for Game Gear.
That's right.
Yes.
I have to get a Genesis 2 adapter, apparently. That's what Portuguese told me. And I can
so you
plug
don't
that puppy
six
in.
Batteries.
Oh, yeah, right.
And
yeah,
so now I have
adapter.
To start. Yeah. And what'd you do to that one?
Just fixed it. It had bad
recapped everything. Right?
Yeah, it was the capacitors.
Yeah.
Just bad caps.
That's what he fixed on mine as well.
Yeah,
a couple
yours.
Months back. So
yeah.
Seamus.
I have
start
a
collecting
dude.
For the Game Gear.
Yeah,
game.
Seriously.
Let's
man.
Go.
I have a project. So you have a Game Gear.
I do.
Yeah.
I do remember you telling me about that.
Thanks to George Portugal.
I think the next biggest project for you, George.
Okay.
Is modding a trackball onto Chris's Game Gear.
Let's go. Let's do it, baby.
He just takes the screen out and he shoves it. trackball in there. He's like,
there you
good
go.
Luck, good have, luck. Good
and
luck.
And then
Horton.
Just stick it on a Missile Command arcade machine.
Play Sonic with a trackball.
Let's do it. I'm down. No buttons, just trackballs.
Just trackballs.
I think Portuguese is like.
I think he's up to
or
it.
Or will be fixing like. Something of all of ours. I think
at some
he's
point.
Going on to Jake's
SP.
Jake's SP,
something
whatever.
Like
yeah, I got that to do.
Which I don't know what I Jake did to this thing. Like Jake threw it off the top of a building.
It's, all right. So there's two possibilities.
So you rage quit some sort of game and you F that thing up.
Yes. So
that thing's like
it's
shit.
Cracked
into
pieces. Yeah.
I want to say so. There's two possibilities. It either just broke over time, like I kept throwing it into a box or something,
absolutely
and eventually
not.
It broke. Or there's somewhere in my memory that is a very fond remembering Pokemon Fire Red. And getting up to Gary.
Really? Okay.
And, you know, I didn't have a single Pokemon that was level 100. Or maybe I had, I think my Charizard was level 100. And every other Pokemon that I had was about level, like, 35, 40 at best.
Oh, nice.
So okay. Instead of grinding and, you know, trying to get all my guys back up, you know, I'm a little kid, so I'm just continuously, I'm like, all right, well, you know, I keep losing money. Like, I'm just going to keep going back so I can finally beat him and get more money.
Right.
And after, like, maybe 20 or 30 tries on a long, like, road trip, I just snapped it.
the peak of a 9-year-old's Pokemon team, which is a level 90-something starter.
Yeah.
And
Hell
then just 30, level 30
level
below 30s. Everything
yep.
else.
I think I do actually have a black and white Game Boy.
Oh, yeah.
To fix.
I can do that.
If you're ever interested.
I love fixing them.
I have
them.
One, too.
Yep.
Yeah. I think mine works, though. I'm not sure. I'll have to check it.
Do you have a favorite game? Handheld game of all time? It's very extensive. I know now we're starting to get to the really extensive universe of games.
Probably Link's Awakening. I played the shit out of that. I love that game.
What is that the second one?
What was
one?
That for? That was
Link's
on...
Awakening was on Game Boy. He
no,
asked
it's
me
a Game Boy. Game Boy
oh, it's yeah. just a Game Boy exclusive?
It's a black and white Game Boy game, yeah. It was on the color, too.
It was, yeah.
They made the
DX
version,
right? Yeah.
Which was color. But that was one of the first games. I got Tetris, and I got that. And I loved Tetris, but honestly, once I found Link's Awakening, I was like, screw this. This is what I'm playing. I love that game. Yeah.
Did you ever play the Oracle games on the color?
I did. I got Oracle of Ages and Seasons, okay. too. Those are really awesome, too.
Do you somehow remember the first game you ever played? Was it...
First video game I ever played? Probably was The Legend of Zelda at a friend's house before I had an NES. I didn't play Atari. I only... First things was NES.
What's the first arcade you ever played?
Ooh, that's tough.
In the arcade.
That I can't be sure. It was definitely Golden Age stuff, like maybe Pac-Man or something like that. But
okay.
I remember Double Dragon having a big impact on me too. It was just like, because that was 1985 and
Dragon?
1985, dude.
87.
Is it 87?
87.
I don't know. It's impressive for its age. I'm gonna look that up.
87.
I'm pretty damn sure.
It's running so quickly that there's so much slowdown. I'm pretty sure it's 87 because we're doing an episode on it. Yeah. April 1987, it's released.
Damn, 87. But I remember that game
having a big
impact on me, too, because I just looked so much better than the competitors. Like,
right?
It was so good.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting, though. Do we have any other questions for Portia Guest?
I always have so many questions for you, George.
I know. I love picking his freaking brain.
You can talk to George Portugal for hours.
I know.
Do you play video games now in your current time? Do you have time to play video games?
I have very little time, but when I do try to play games. And a lot of it's with my son. And I have an arcade cab at home, so we do that a good amount. We play beat 'em ups or shoot 'em ups together.
Can you pinpoint a game right now that you're playing that you just cannot stop playing?
No, because I don't have that kind of time.
Yeah.
It's always, like, right now, any game I can play is a short affair because I just
quick beat 'em ups.
Yeah, things. Like a shoot 'em up, beat 'em up. I have this thing at home called Mister, which is this beautiful device that accurately recreates consoles and arcade games, so thankfully every week there's some new game out. So usually, like, Rastan just came out on Mister, so
Rastan's dope.
I know, I'm gonna play that game. I'm gonna beat that game. Go.
That's probably super duper influenced by Dungeons & Dragons.
Hell yeah.
That's another one of those games that's just like, you could see the influence of
very clearly of those games. Yep.
I guess my last question for
sure
you. This may have come up, but if you had to pinpoint one specific version of gaming console or cabinet, what would it be? NES, is a handheld your favorite?
Oh, like if I had to...
I know you love the PlayChoice.
If I was stranded on an island, I can only be given one thing, just give me an NES. I'd be good with
that's
that.
That's a solid answer.
As we like to say, W answer.
Yeah.
What about
arcades?
I mean, I love arcades.
Cab.
I love arcades. Yeah, I mean, with the arcades, I'd probably just stick with the beat-em-ups. Fucking love the beat-em-ups.
Really? On a desert island?
Well, I'm okay, maybe not.
Give you a four-player beat-em-up.
Yeah, but I need three more people.
Then
I need three more people, though. Damn it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know if I'd do that.
We have to think that through.
I'd have to think that through.
All right.
I'd have to think that through. But if it's home console, or just if I had to pick literally anything, it'd be NES.
So we're going to give you time to think about it, and then next time you're on, you're going to answer Sean's question.
All right. I'll do that.
I'll have more for you next time, George.
Yeah. We always have.
We'll have a prepared list of questions.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay. Thank you for being on the show, George Portugal.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you, George.
Always a pleasure to have you on. We hope to have you on more in the future.
Definitely.
We'll try our best.
Yeah.
The Portia guest at his Portia best.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
It's true.
The Portia best. Portia guest. George Portugal. Thank you all for listening. We hope you enjoyed this live recording from the Tabletop Gaming Expo 2022. Check out our other ones, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the Arcade Age Exhibit Podcast. I hope you enjoyed your time with our hosts, Seamus, Zach, Jake, Sean, Chris, and Jose. Tune in next week, and remember, the future is now.